You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
It is Wednesday, January 11th, 2016, and this is the Roto Experts in the Morning. My name is Greg Sussman, joined as always by the fantasy executive, Corey Parson, the Keg, Scott Engel, Tony Cicada as well. We go the next 3 hours for you. No farewell speeches here tonight or this morning.
We'll be back tomorrow.
Because we'll be back tomorrow, and we'll be back in 9 days as well. We're not going anywhere.
No, unfortunately, we have been left behind.
Oh. Good morning, Scotty. Good morning. You can turn your mic on, my man. You know, almost there. Almost there. Just the red button.
You're
just
having a hard time finding the hole.
You got it?
I'm not like Denzel Valentine then, huh? Did you guys use Denzel Valentine last night? Good call.
That was magical. That was magical.
Denzel Valentine. He found it for 19 points last night. Good call, Tony.
Hey, every once in a while, a squirrel gets a nut.
Yeah, but did you use Valentine last night, Greg? I know you were talking about trying to decide which bowls to use last night.
I did not use Denzel Valentine last night, yeah. No, sir. I did use Doug McDermott, who worked out beautifully.
Nice. How about the
No, that was sarcasm, Scott. He was horrible.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, he was an anchor. Yeah.
He was freaking horrible. Yeah.
How about the Jazz and the Bucks last night with the victories they pulled off? That was pretty cool.
Well, Jazz, that should, you know what, at home, people don't give the Jazz credit. Nope. I'm one of those guys, too. They're 23-15. I mean, yeah. They're a good team.
Yeah, it's not like the Jazz are like bad. The Jazz are awesome.
No, but I'm not saying they're bad, but anytime you beat Cleveland, you know, that's a nice notch in your belt.
Yeah, absolutely. No question about that. And Milwaukee's a good, too. I know Giannis didn't barely
Milwaukee,
play.
Milwaukee, that, yeah.
Milwaukee's
that was
good,
amazing.
Though. Like, they're Giannis, going to be good.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to be, but they're one game over 500, and they went in and beat them without their best player. And Michael Beasley has a career night.
Yeah, he did. It's like, and you know, Giannis played just, Giannis didn't score any points last night at all. No. I don't know, maybe he was hungover. I don't
was
know.
Beasley a high school?
No, Beasley went to Kansas State for a year.
K-State, he killed at K-State. Beasley was supposed to be a big deal, but he couldn't get it right when he was a younger man.
Correct.
How's he doing now?
Not so great.
He's still
he bounced around a lot, and you know, he's.
I mean, like recently, like is anything negative?
Like negative? No.
Oh, okay.
He's okay.
He still he looked weird with the tattoos.
He was much nicer in college. Where,
he was clean, and I didn't say
Alphabet
that.
Only played 9 minutes last night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was sick last night. He got the
hungover,
flu.
Maybe?
No, he's got the flu.
Yeah.
It's clear.
Yeah, you didn't say that he was hungover.
No, because it was clear I was wrong about Jimmy Butler, so I'm not going to double down. Right? Like I was wrong. Clearly the flu is going around. I got it wrong. Oh, right? Yeah, you know what you want to say?
Yeah, you're right. Don't double down.
Yeah, so there you go. Tony, what's going on with you, man?
A little NBA. Last night was a good night, right? I made money and everything.
Good.
But I could have made a lot of money. But my was not Doug McMurray, but Michael Kidd-Gilchrist.
MKG.
He was my one guy. Game, put up 15 fantasy points. I put up a 304 with that knucklehead in my lineup. And I looked at so many other guys that I was like, I came down to him, and One guy there. I was still 3 or 4. I was like 11 points from winning a tournament, and I had that 15 points.
Oh, wow. I actually I put up a 309 spot last night.
Oh, you did good. Well, you did it on FanDuel, though. Tony did it on DraftKings.
That is all true.
Yeah.
That is all true.
Interesting, Tony was talking about go against the Lakers last night. It's like, I think the Lakers hurt him because they were so bad offensively. They shot 38% of the game and 29% from the field in the second half. I don't think any Laker like cracked like 16 points last night.
That team, I don't know. Like, they've got some talent there, but it's all in the backcourt. Then they got these aging veterans. And Walton's doing a decent job because the team's a lot better than they were last year. But still, there's a lot to sort out there. Like, Julius Randle did nothing last night. Ingram's getting more and more playing time. Lowell Deng's plays pretty well. But why? I mean, he's not going to be around when this team finally gets good. What's the sense of having him out there playing? Why not just play Brandon Ingram? Brandon Ingram doesn't even have a position to play as of yet. The whole thing is crazy.
Yeah, whole thing is crazy out there in L.A. I only started one guy on Portland at times yesterday, because you could just see how crazy yesterday was. I had four guys in Portland in my lineup at one point. I wound up with one when it was all said and done.
Which one was it, McCollum? Wow. Was it McCollum?
Plumlee, probably.
It was neither, actually. Yeah. It was Al Farouk Aminu. He was the one that was stuck in there. Yeah, that worked out actually very, very well.
You used Gortat last night, right?
I did not. No, I used Dwight Howard last night.
Oh, okay, because he had a double-double, and I was thinking.
Yeah, Howard had a double-double last night, too. And he could have had a bigger game, but Brooklyn's so bad.
So bad.
And it's amazing that Trevor Booker, how much he means to that team, because
he's good.
Nobody there. He's good, but if Trevor Booker's your best player.
Yeah.
You got some problems. Yeah, like, you got some serious problems.
What is happening with Brooke Lopez?
Robin Lopez. Yeah, Brooke Lopez, sorry. How do you get two rebounds 7 feet tall?
It doesn't make sense to me. We wonder that for
very
years.
Bill Carter,
he's got
right?
The bad feet, can't jump like you want to.
It is true.
Yeah, Charles Barkley
led the league without jumping for any rebound.
Yeah. But Corey's got a good point, though. I saw Lopez make like a shot totally flat-footed last night.
His feet hurt.
No, but I'm saying that's not the key to rebounding, right? If you play the position well. And
positioning.
Box out. Charles Barkley never jumped in his life in the league in rebounding.
He just was too wide.
Moses Malone wasn't a big jumper either, from what I remember.
No. Wes Unseld, if you want to go back that
far. Wes Unseld, wow. Yeah, he was only 6'7", too.
He's about 280.
Yeah, about 480.
Why are you making fun of fat people, Scott?
No, I'm saying he wasn't fat. He was massive. He was a lot of muscle.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Wes Unseld was never fat.
But he was muscle.
Yeah.
All right.
He was a tank.
Sure.
Kind of like Frank Kaminsky, right?
Jeez. Frank Kaminsky the Tank? Frank Kaminsky the Tank, or are you just calling him a tank?
That's his nickname, the Tank.
That's not really his nickname. His name's Frank. So every Frank is all of a sudden becoming the Tank.
Yeah, right.
Right.
That's true.
Yeah.
So it's like Nate's, right? Every Nate is nasty.
Every time I'm watching highlights, they're like, the Tank.
That was a good play for me last night. Not Frank. Spencer
Hawes, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 3,800, I was like, man, this guy is going to get the playing time. Spencer Hawes is a guy that can really shoot the ball. In that type of environment, going up and down the court, it was going to fall in. And he got five rebounds, and he had six assists, and it worked out. Spencer Hawes last night.
Yeah, Spencer Hawes played 25 minutes compared to Roy Hibbert's 19. Of course, no Cody Zeller, who was out, probably hungover, or the flu, one of the two.
No, he's got a real injury.
No, he's just sick, Cody Zeller, no?
No, he's been out a couple illness. Games. Oh, he's been out a couple games then. He better have a telethon then.
So Hawes has the 16-5-4. It's a good play by Tony. It was one of those late guys that you put in there, Hawes. There's another one that I'll talk about in just a second. Frank the Tank is Scott called him, 22 off the bench. Marco Bellinelli, a lot of people liked yesterday, was 15. And then Jeremy Lamb, who was in almost, he was in, let me see, my yeah. lineup. He was in 86% of lineups in the cash game that I was in. Lamb at 11-5-4.
Well, missed it on that one.
Yeah, it wasn't so good, but that's okay.
You cashed, though?
I cashed, yeah.
That's all that matters.
Pretty good. James Harden in that same game, Trip Dub, 40-15-10.
His 11th of the season.
Yeah, so this Zeller thing, right? This is weird before we get on there. So Zeller missed games from January 2nd to January 5th. Then he came back for the one game January 7th.
Right.
And now he's out sick.
Right.
Now he's out sick.
A lot of illnesses going around the association.
A lot of drinking going on, I think, probably.
What are they doing here? Like, this guy needs antibiotics.
Clearly. Yeah. Very clearly.
You say the Rockets, I mentioned the Mavericks only had no fast break points the other night. The Hornets got run into the ground. They only had two fast break points.
Yeah, and as you said, James Harden is 11th triple-double of the year, 40-15-10. Tony, more impressive, and four blocks. Tony, more impressive, or turnovers, rather. That was the more impressive stat to me, is that last night in the triple-double, he had a quadruple-double because he had 10 turnovers. Now, just four here against Charlotte.
Yeah, this is interesting. I really think that, like, if we voted today, James Harden would win the MVP.
Agreed.
But if Russell Westbrook wins, if he finishes the season in the playoffs with Oklahoma City and a triple-double, I don't think he automatically wins. Like, you don't even have to vote. People are just going to vote him in because that one stat is going to be the difference in the MVP race.
I think every time I've seen, like, a James Harden performance, he does at least one behind-the-back pass to Ryan Anderson.
Then Ryan Anderson shoots and misses it, I assume?
No, he's made the last two.
Oh, that's interesting. Because Ryan Anderson sucks.
Yeah.
He's actually shooting the threes better as of late. Yeah. Like, he gets three a game, it seems like. But still not living up to the expectations. I drafted him in my season-long league.
Same.
I loved him.
Yeah, me too. I was a huge fan of Ryan Anderson. Just has a little bit to it. Montrezl Harrell had 14 points, 10 points from Nene, so kind of split it there. Trevor Ariza, 16 and 4. Pat Beverly, 8-8 and 5 last night for Houston. The other, along with Spencer Hawes, Tone, the other late swap that I saw in a bunch of my leagues, he was owned in actually 46%. Of my cash game, and I totally missed the boat on this because I saw this guy was out, and I was like, I am not touching his replacement, especially, you know, it was about 6:45 or so, and I'm sure you guys talked about it a lot at Lock Show last night. David Lee. David Lee started for San Antonio and played 26 minutes. 46% owned, actually.
Really?
In my cash game. Yeah.
People actually went to David Lee?
Yeah, about around that time, I saw Daily Roto was putting lineup alerts about Lee, like right about the time you mentioned.
So Stanfield wanted to play him, and me and Benny both said, nah, we're not touching this guy.
I think the Daily Roto guys were off him, too.
He had a knee injury prior to this, so we didn't know how long he was going to play in this contest. And for the price last night, he was $3,600 on DraftKings. He paid off. He paid off. Yeah, but, you know, 10 points, 7 rebounds. There was so much value last night, and there was so much plays. I didn't think it was worth the risk.
So that was the thing, right? Like, whoever you wanted to get in last night, you were able to get in. Whether it was DeMarcus Cousins, whether it was James Harden, whether it was Kyle Lowry or John Wall, there was so much value. You mentioned Michael Carter-Williams a moment ago. We talked about Jeremy
Lamb. I used Rondo.
You used Rondo. Oh, there you go.
Yeah, Rondo came back.
Rondo came back from the dead and had a huge game for Chicago.
Yeah.
So there is so much value no matter how, like I said, whoever you wanted to get in, you got in last night, so you didn't need David Lee.
You mentioned Cousins last night. He had some key three-pointers down the stretch, and he had a great post-game press conference where he was telling reporters. They were asking about about his contract extension, and he actually took the boom mic from the reporter and interviewed him and said, do you want me back? And the reporter's like, no comment. And he's like, oh, okay, no comedy. He gave it to another reporter, and he said, you want me back? The guy goes, no. It's funny.
DeMarcus Cousins making jokes now in the media. That's nice. Yeah. He's not hurting anybody, so
well,
that's good.
That's what I was going to say. That's a good turn for him.
Agreed. It's trying to be a face turn. Let's see if he can do it. Seems unlikely, though.
He started the whole interview with a total scowl and then just, like, you know, totally turn jovial.
Would you like to interview DeMarcus Cousins?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, you'll probably die.
Hey, if my last one, that's a good one to go out on, right?
I guess. You probably want to go out on someone you like, though, rather than DeMarcus Cousins.
I don't got anything against DeMarcus Cousins.
Well, you haven't met him yet.
No. So,
For San Antonio last night, a lot of people, yourself included, like Kawhi, right? 37 and 5.
I thought he was the number one player starting your lineup because of the price. Yep. And he came through nicely for the Spurs. And nobody else on that team did anything.
No, he had a lot of just like meh plays on the Spurs all night. Scotty, you mentioned it a second ago. Michael Beasley played 34 minutes with Giannis, only playing 9 due to being sick. And Beasley scored 28 points in those 34 minutes of action. Good spot for him. Malcolm Brogdon continued to roll 17-6-6 for him. He's kept the starting.
Big three down the stretch, too.
He's kept the starting role despite Matthew Dellavedova returning. Yeah. And then... off the bench, Greggy Monroe, 14-9.
Yeah, and Jabari Parker had a good game too. A lot of clutch points on the fast break last night.
Yes, sir. DeMarcus Cousins, your boy, 24-13-6. Did that pay off, Tone? Probably did.
That paid off for fantasy owners. Lesson. It wasn't well owned because you had
so many
Harden out there, and you had some of these other top price players. So he wasn't heavily owned in last night's competition.
Well, and it's interesting because they wanted to keep his minutes down, and this is a game where Sacramento wound up coming back here in the fourth quarter and won this ball game. But DeMarcus Cousins only played 30 minutes, right? Like, they are not overextending him, and that's an effort to, rather than keep him out for games, they are simply limiting the minutes during games. Only 30 minutes for Boogie. If you're paying up for a superstar, you're going to need more than that.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And it's interesting, this rotation in Sacramento is tough to figure out. Darren Collison had been playing well as of late, but last night only played 28 minutes, didn't do anything in the backcourt. And then you look, Garrett Temple still getting starts, right? This guy's not a young player. He's 32 years of age. He's a guy that I've used a couple times in Daily Fantasy. But he plays 30 minutes last night. He only puts up 11 points, no assists, a rebound. Then you look at other Kostas Koufos is a guy, if you can get 25, 26 minutes of him, he's going to pay off every night.
For sure.
He had 12 points, 8 rebounds last night, and a blocked shot. You just never know when he's going to get playing time. Ty Lawson's another guy. You never know when he's going to play 30 minutes or 24. Last night he was ineffective, 2-for-9 from the field, but he played 24 minutes. This rotation is just impossible to figure out.
We'll talk more about the NBA. A lot of games to get to from last night. I want to get, after the break, get to Chicago, where Tony started Rajon Rondo, started Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. I started Dougie McBuckets. That didn't work out so well. Denzel Valentine, that was the guy you wanted to start. We'll talk about the Bulls on the other side of the break. They hung out with Washington real tight. Stick around. Road Experts in the Morning continues after this. Back here on the Road Experts in the Morning. Hanging out, talking about NBA with you.
I'm watching this video of Dwight Howard and Jeremy Lin on the bench.
He went up. Howard was in, like, I guess because maybe he was playing the Nets. He was in a clowning mood all night.
He's always been a clown. Yeah, a 7-foot clown.
Damn, yeah, sure.
And like a 7-foot. Never mind.
During a loose ball, he went, like, you know, gave Jeremy Lin like a like a pound on the sideline.
He dabbed on him. He went to go for it.
Yeah. Also,
what the hell is Jeremy Lin doing with his hair?
Yeah, I don't know.
Frank Stanfill inspired.
Yeah.
Would you rock that dude,
That's
Tony?
That's true.
No. Are you crazy? Are you crazy? Like, people, like, I don't understand what people. I got a Dwight Howard story. So this was when he played for the Orlando Magic. I went down to a playoff game, and I live 2 hours away, so I just, on a whim, like, I just drove down. I have a connection in the ticket office. I said, hey, I'm coming down by myself. Can you get me a really good ticket for tonight's game? I want to sit close as possible to the court. So I was about the third row from the court, and I got in before they opened the arena to everybody.
Nice.
And Dwight Howard is there, and he's shooting balls from the stands. He's shooting balls from the bench. He's playing with kids that I don't know where the kids came from. And on the other end of the court is Rajon Rondo driving to the hole, having an assistant coach foul him each and every time, and going to the free throw line and shooting hoops. And I'm watching this other guy chuck balls up from all over the arena and running a circus camp. And I'm like, that's why that guy's not a winner.
Yep, that is absolutely 100% correct. That's why Rajon Rondo has hardware. And
Dwight does not. Simple as that.
And he's a 7-footer, probably the most gifted athlete in the NBA.
Sure.
And he's a clown.
Clown. He's always been a clown. Now, yesterday morning, you said, Tony, you know, this Denzel Valentine guy, like, watch out, Michigan State, hasn't played in a while, but they kept him out to rest him, knowing that they would be out without Wade, without Butler, and Denzel Valentine would be someone to monitor. Then it comes out even later in the day that Nikola Mirotic, he's not going to play in this one either. So that means Denzel Valentine in line for even more time. I ignored and went with Doug McDermott instead. He had 4 points and 1 rebound. He's been blacklisted for my squad.
Why didn't you roll with Bobby Portis?
Well, I don't know.
Oh,
he was never on the radar.
Valentine had six more minutes than McDermott. He actually made 5 of 11 threes and was real key. Is that especially in the first half, it's Chicago was depleted but hung in this game.
Chicago up 12 at halftime.
Winning the whole game.
They should have won the game. Forget hung in. They should have won the game.
They should have. But I don't know what they were doing defensively on that final possession. So.
Well, that's what happens when you have players that don't usually
I'm just
play.
Saying, you hang in, with a depleted team like that.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't hang in. They should have won the third quarter, where they really got shot. But Denzel Valentine, as you said, had a really good game, 19 points here coming back from his injury. Bobby Portis, 13-7 off the bench. Michael Carter-Williams, 14-7-2-2. That's not bad, Tone.
No, no, no. Especially his salary hasn't risen that much. So he was a guy that you could play last night, and a lot of people did play him last night. Another guy that he actually used in this game was Jerian Grant.
Yep.
He was the minimum salary, and he started out. He had 13 fantasy points by half. He only finished with 21, but still paid off on his $3,400 salary.
I covered him in high school when he was in high
school. Jerian Grant?
Yeah, for a local radio
station. That's pretty cool.
Him went to DeMatha.
Hey, Tony, how do you...
DeMatha, really?
Where do Wall and Beal rank to you among the NBA backcourts?
Wall's really stepped up his game because you look at today's NBA, there's not a lot of assist guys. And he's getting a ton of assists and still scoring 20-plus points a game. The greatest thing about this Washington team with Wall and Beal is they all play 40 minutes because they only play seven guys in their rotation.
Yeah, they use mostly their starting five.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I just read a tweet by our president.
Oh.
So I'd like to I'd like to respond to that.
You want to respond to the tweet yourself?
On the radio.
Oh!
What did he say?
Starting the beef.
Russia just said the unverified report paid for by political opponents is a complete and total fabrication. Utter nonsense. Very unfair. Oh, so I'm glad Russia said that.
See, Donald knows who you can trust. You can't trust the Democrats, but the Russians.
Yeah.
They're for us. They're us. They're us.
Yeah. I'm at a loss for words. Why I'm glad Russia denied it. Thank you, Russia. John Wall, 26-14-6 last night. Bradley Beal at 19-4-3. Like you said, one of the best backcourts in the NBA, Scotty. Mm-hmm. Markieff at 19. All, you know, this is the thing. We said it yesterday, Tony. All five starters played a significant amount of minutes. Markieff only had 22 last night. He was in foul trouble most of the game. But all the other starters, at least 34 minutes of action.
Yeah, tonight a good matchup for these guys against the Celtics. Now, the Celtics don't defend big guys well, so I think Markieff Morris could be in position tonight to have a good game. Marcin Gortat will be there as well as these guys there. Otto Porter's always the wild card because he touches every stat line, so you're never going to have a bad game with him.
Exactly.
But he doesn't explode, though, every time, so that's the tough one.
Yeah, I like Markieff. It's a good spot for him tonight. Short slate, but it's actually a good slate, so I think it'll be fun making lineups, which we'll get to, of course, a little bit later on in the show.
Tony had an interesting one during the 6:30 Daily Show. A nice risky play he can talk about a little bit more later.
There you go.
Yeah.
I mentioned Dwight Howard. The Atlanta Hawks defeated Brooklyn last night, 117-97. D12. He's not D12 anymore. What number is he now? D8? Something like that. 14-16 for Howard. It could have been more. 28 minutes, but they blew him out. 2 of 8 from the free throw line. I guess that's an improvement. 19-10 for Dennis Schroeder. And then we're still trying to figure out how this rotation, Tony's going to work without Kyle Korver. Last night was Stefanovic stepping up with 10 points, 27 minutes. Kent Bazemore didn't do anything in his 22 minutes of action. So no real answer. A lot of people think it'll be Tim Hardaway, who only had 9 points last night.
Yeah, I think it's going to be Tim Hardaway. Kent Bazemore just can't throw the ball in the ocean. I mean, last night it was a perfect opportunity. I didn't even consider going. It was a great matchup, and I didn't even have any consideration
right now
in my lineup.
Yeah.
And that's crazy, and that's all you need to know there. It's going to be Hardaway, I think, that will actually get that opportunity. And now Atlanta's changed course. They finally realized. I think someone finally looked and saw that they were in fifth place in the division.
I think so, too. I think somebody finally looked and said, wow, we've won like five in a row. We probably should not stop.
Bazemore's middle name was Klang last night. He was 1-for-7.
So they're actually going to keep Paul Millsap employed there. They're actually going to try to win some games. So congratulations for the
Atlanta.
He only had 14 last night, Millsap.
He had
three block shots, though.
Yeah, he did have rebounds, great rebounds.
Four assists.
It's not
a bad game.
Only one turnover.
It's not a bad game.
Yeah.
The problem was they were in control the whole game. So
yeah.
The other problem is I need to
get the minutes.
I need to start listening to Tony. I need to start listening to you and Benny. It seems like a problem. So you told me yesterday morning, like, Denzel Valentine's a guy you really need to consider. I was like, you know what? I'm going to go with Doug McDermott. And then Benny comes in at like 11:30 before his first show on Target. And he's like, listen, instead of Doug McDermott, you really should start Bojan Bogdanovic. Like, I know he's $200 more, but Bogdanovic, he's been hot. Like, I'm telling you, you should start him over Doug McDermott. And I go, yeah, I'm going to go with McDermott. Bogdanovic last night, 16 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal. Doug McDermott, did not have any of those lines.
3 for 5 from 3-point range too.
Bogdanović has been
hot. Why would you not listen to Benny?
I like Doug McDermott.
This is a lesson for everybody, though, if people out there, even for myself and Benny, right? We go and we put all our stuff together by ourselves, right? And then we get in and we do the show from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern. And one of the greatest things ever is when the other guy mentions a guy like you didn't even consider and you're like,
right.
Yeah.
Why would you play him? And then you get that reasoning, right?
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, I effed up. You're right. I should have, you know, thought about him. Doesn't mean you put him in, but it gives you another opinion. If you guys are doing this alone, you're crazy. I don't like to get influenced before I put my lineups in. So what I like to do is I like to go and make a lineup on my own, right? I make a lineup on my own. And then I'll listen to Daily Roto after that, and then I'll do the show with Benny after I already have my lineup together. And then when the guys, Mike Leone or Drew Dinkmeyer, mention a player that I don't have, then I immediately go back and I try to figure out why I didn't have him. When Benny brings up a player, I ask him, and he this happens every show. He'll ask me, why do you like him? I wasn't considering him. And then you go at it. You always should have a back checker no matter what you do.
So what do? You have like one lineup that you made on your own and other ones that are influenced by the other guys?
No. I always have one lineup that I make on my own, at least one lineup, sometimes multiple. Like they'll be like last night, I had two different lineups, one that had James Harden, one that didn't, and I went it that way. Because you could get a balanced lineup, and as these injuries kept happening, that's the one problem with doing the show from 6 to 7. Mm-hmm. As these injuries kept happening, you didn't need to have a lineup without James Harden.
Exactly. That was the thing. Like my first lineup that I set of the day, and I set it right before the end of the show. I told you this literally as we were signing off yesterday. I didn't have Harden. I didn't have Cousins. I didn't have anybody in the top five highest-priced guys because I didn't need it. Right? I had those balanced lineup. And then as all this value came out throughout the day, I'm like, how could I do a lineup without Harden when it's so easy to get Harden in?
Yeah. Yeah.
See, when I start playing, I think that's what's going to happen. It's like I'll do one on my own, but then I'm going to listen to you guys and probably do like two or three based on what you say.
When do you expect to start?
So what
playing?
Happens? Yeah,
I'm targeting next week to like start doing.
What
that.
Happens though is you don't change your line. You just change one or two players. Like you don't create more lineups because you know once you're confident in what you're doing, it's just one or two players that end up. You know, maybe he's a better fit. Same situation. Like Bogdanović might be a better fit than a Dougie McDermott. Similar price tags, and you just change one guy here or there is what it ends up being.
The as you said before, Scott, DeMarcus Cousins, he only played last night. We talked about it 30 minutes, and we talked about the Kings rotation. But I want to go to the other side. I want to go to the Pistons rotation here because we saw Tobias Harris back in the starting lineup, and I loved Tobias Harris last night, knowing John Lohr wasn't going to play. And Harris played 40 minutes, Tony, 18 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, and he was actually performing better with his usage rate off the bench. But given that he's playing 40 minutes, he's back in the starting lineup. Tobias Harris is going to be someone hard to ignore.
Oh, I totally agree, and this is one guy. Me and Benny always debate because Benny's not a Tobias Harris guy. And he goes, but I always put him in when you say he's going to have a good game because he always does. The problem is Andre Drummond's rebounding so well, it's not leaving any rebounds for anyone. If you look at this team, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, who I love last night and I didn't play.
I always love Kentavious, yeah.
He had the second most rebounds on this team because Drummond's just eating everything up.
Yeah, it's remarkable, in fact, that Drummond eats everything up. Last night, he had 12 rebounds. Nobody else had more than KCP's fives. You're 100% right.
They got out-rebounded 46-35 last night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was Drummond wound up with 5 fouls. Marcus Morris has 5 fouls. I know one of the things Benny was saying yesterday, Tone, was that he thought Tobias Harris could be in foul trouble with Cousins. And I actually think I was able to talk him out of that. I'm like, listen, you have Drummond's fouls. You have Morris's fouls. I think Harris is going to be okay.
Yeah, Marcus Morris, and it took 10 fouls with those guys.
Yep.
Crazy. Drummond only had 5 shots in 35 minutes. You know what happens with a guy like this is that he shoots free throws so poorly that they don't get him the ball after he starts missing a few free throws, and that's always going to be a problem when you have Andre Drummond in a tournament setting. Like, there'll be certain days that he only shoots the ball 5 times.
100%.
Wow, they have a Caspian Kufos, like 18 rebounds off the bench.
Yeah, we talked about Kufos a little while ago.
He could play.
And his reliability as well. Yeah. The Trailblazers defeated L.A. last night by over 20. C.J. McCollum at 25. Damian Lillard, 28-6. Good game for him. My man, Al-Farouq Aminu, 8 points, 15 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 blocks.
Got you 15 points.
He got me 15. He was great.
The Lakers, I talked about how badly they shot. They scored 12 points in the third quarter.
It's very bad. And 18 points in the fourth. They scored a total of 30 points in the second half. Meanwhile, Portland had 30 points in the fourth quarter.
Aminu is baffling to me.
Okay.
Because I use this guy because he's cheap a lot.
Yeah,
right?
Me too. Yeah.
But there's not a single play in a Portland offense that's designed for him to get ball. So there are times when it's god-awful to use this guy, and you watch the game, and you'll cringe.
Yep.
But he can play. He gets involved. He gets up and down the court. His game is very similar to the LA Clippers' DeAndre Jordan.
Okay, I thought you were going to say Otto Porter.
Very similar to that too. DeAndre Jordan has no plays run for him either. He hangs out around the basket. But the difference between Aminu and Jordan is Aminu can hit the outside shot when given an opportunity.
Sure,
but there's just no plays. And so there are certain games where you're going to get left out in the cold there. But he had 3 block shots last night, which is huge. That gets you an extra 6 points.
Mo Harkless, 14-5. Mason Plumlee, 11-7. For the Lakers, you talked about the starters and 12 points in the third quarter, 30 points in the second half. We love the Lakers because we love going against the Blazers. We love going against the Blazers all the time.
Yeah, so the defense is so bad.
So a lot of people,
third to last,
myself included, started D'Angelo Russell. He had 9 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 steals. So, you know, all around.
He shot 0 for 7 from 3-point range.
He did. But the rest of the stats were okay. Like, he didn't destroy you last night, right? Like, you had him I did. You were fine. But Luol Deng being the leading scorer is an issue. 14-6.
That means that's not a good look when Luol Deng is the leading scorer, especially with their playing against the Blazers.
Julius Randle, 6-10. Nick Young at 8. Then off the bench, you obviously looked at Clarkson and Lou Williams. Clarkson had 9, Lou Williams 10.
Now, Randle got in foul trouble last night, and he was 2 for 9 to be in that game. He should have ate up Portland's front court. As good as we talked about Aminu, and Plumlee was a guy that a lot of people liked last night. They had good matchups from an offensive perspective, but they're terrible defensively. And Randle should have ate these guys alive. But some nights, he just doesn't come ready to play. And last night, he got in foul trouble in this game and was terrible.
Yeah, 100%. Totally agree. He was absolutely awful once getting in foul trouble there. Let's take a break here. We'll come back. A couple more games to get to from last night, including, as Scotty said, Utah's defeat of Cleveland in Utah, and KD and the Warriors getting the job done without Klay Thompson. We'll talk about that on the other side of the break here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. The Cleveland Cavaliers fell last night in Utah, 100-92. LeBron James, Kevin Love, both played 37 minutes. LeBron at 29, 6-5, and 4 steals. Kevin Love, 12-9 with 3 assists. Kyrie Irving played 39 minutes, 20-4. High usage rate, obviously, for the Big 3. High minutes last night, Tony, for the Big 3. How does that affect your interest in them for tonight's matchup, tasty matchup against Portland with the Cleveland Cavaliers?
Yeah, it doesn't affect me. I actually love tonight's matchups. You're going to love Kevin Love. That's a great play on words. He's got, as far as power forwards go, I think he has the best matchup on the paper against that Portland front court. And I do like LeBron James in that one, but I probably will not have him on my rosters as I pay for James Harden in that one. So I don't have LeBron, but I like him in tonight's action there. Portland's on a back-to-back, too. So the only problem is you just got to make sure that these guys play in a late game. So that is the problem.
What about Kyrie against Damian Lillard?
I'm actually like the other way. I like Damian Lillard. I like Lillard going against Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving, as good as a player as he is, not very good defensively. Damian Lillard's not good defensively. But with LeBron and Kevin Love there, you get more usage out of Damian Lillard in this contest.
And again, second out of back-to-back, heavy minutes here last night. Definitely be on the lookout of one of these guys sitting out. Like, it's very possible one of them will sit out tonight.
And that's a problem. Yeah. If I didn't know, if I don't know, I'd probably avoid this game. Right. I would probably avoid those three players.
Right.
Yeah, the Jazz last night, I caught some of this game. It's like ball movement was terrific last night. They had six players, all five starters, scoring double figures last night.
All five starters led by Gordon Hayward's 28-9, Rodney Hood at 18-5, Rudy Gobert 11-14, only one block, but 11-14, while George Hill at 13-7. And this team, Tony, is an entirely different team when George Hill plays. Like, they are, I hate to say it, but they're one of the more complete teams in the NBA, or complete starting lineups in the NBA when George Hill plays.
I'm shocked by this because he wasn't this good in Indiana,
nope.
right? He's
nope.
played a ton. And now he's missed a lot of games. He's played a ton for Utah, and he's done a great job. And it's a totally different team with him in the lineup. So I'm shocked by him. I don't use him that much. He plays in games where Utah is one of the better defensive teams in the league, so the scores are generally low in these contests. He's not a guy using daily fantasy a lot, but when you look at Utah and they play in like offensive environments like Houston, Brooklyn, a couple of those games, he's definitely a guy playable because his salary isn't that high.
Yeah, 100%. He's a guy, in those exact matchups that you're mentioning, you could put in there. The usage is going to be high, the minutes are going to be high, and his price is just not going to be that high.
I'll take 7 assists for that price.
Yeah, of course. The Miami Heat fell to Golden State last night, 107-95. I almost, at the very last second, I took him out. I had Hassan Whiteside in this game. Played 37 minutes, 28-20 for Whiteside. Willie Reed is no longer a thing. For Miami, you also had Goran Dragic have 17-4, while Dion Waiters shot 4 of 17 from the field, but did start, Tony. 38 minutes of action for Dion Waiters. Tyler Johnson, James Johnson on the bench each saw 30 minutes. TJ had 18-7, while James Johnson had 14-6.
Did you see Johnson's dunk? Did you see Johnson's dunk on Steph Curry last night? If you didn't, I think you got to Google that one. Like, him and Whiteside had big dunks, but Joe Johnson's one was like top on Google and YouTube last night. And Miami, Miami hung around for the first half here, but you know, and played competitive ball, but you know, they couldn't hang around in the second half.
Golden State led by 28-8 from Kevin Durant, 24-9-8 from Steph Curry. Draymond Green 13-9-5. I actually liked Draymond last night. I don't have to play him, but I liked him last night too.
You know, the only two I liked in this one was Durant and Curry.
Okay.
We talked about this on the show yesterday.
Heard that.
That people don't realize that Klay Thompson leads the team in shots,
nope.
right? So now all of a sudden the top shot maker's off. So Durant and Curry both got extra shots last night, and I thought that would pay off for both these guys. So I liked those two guys, and I didn't like anyone else in this contest with Klay Thompson out because Miami plays such a slow pace. They're decent defensively. I didn't think it was a great matchup, but because of Klay Thompson being out, I like Durant and Curry in that one.
Toronto defeated Boston 114-106. Kyle Lowry, a popular play last night, 24-9 for Lowry and 42 minutes for him. DeMar DeRozan, another 38 minutes there, 41-13 for DeRozan.
Both season highs, yes.
Jonas Valanciunas, 28 minutes, Tony, 18 points, 23 rebounds.
Yeah. 11 of them were offensive.
They can't defend any big man. Like, this is crazy. Like, I didn't have Valanciunas anywhere. I didn't even consider
right,
him.
Right, of course.
Last night. And but then you sit back after and it's like, man, this was an easy play. They can't defend a big man. And in 28 minutes, he put up that kind of number. I owned Kyle Lowry last night as well. The Boston Celtics led this game all the way into the last 2 minutes of the game. And then they get just absolute. Kyle Lowry hit a 3-pointer, was fouled on, and the whole game changed.
Yeah, and Valanciunas had, like, over those 11 offensive rebounds, he had a very big tip in, like, right towards the end.
Which obviously got them through in this one. You had DeMar Carroll, whose minutes restriction is gone, which is good. Carroll had 11-4 last night. DeMar Carroll in a season-long league, I actually just picked him up because they played back-to-back Saturday and Sunday, so I wanted him for the weekend. But Carroll's minute restriction is gone. He's playing the minutes. I know the numbers aren't always there. I like Carroll in season-long leagues.
I could see in season-long leagues because he gets all the categories. Now, I never play this guy in DFS.
Me either.
Because there's no upside with this guy. Like, he's a good basketball player. There's no doubt about it. And he's a lot better NBA player. But he put up 26 points against Houston, which I never see from this guy. He's basically a 10-point a guy a night. He'll get a couple rebounds, a couple assists. So I was shocked by his play against Houston. And I'm not getting fooled into this guy. And the guy's price has risen because now he's starting to play more minutes.
Isaiah Thomas had 7 assists last night, and then like only 3 combined in the previous 2 before that, and then a 15-assist game, and then no assists and 9. It's like there's no rhyme or reason, it seems like, with the assists.
Isaiah Thomas also had 27 points. He's the leading scorer for Boston, but he obviously has to work his teammates more involved.
Yeah, he had that crazy 50-point game with, like, no assists.
He had 7 assists.
In this game he did, but Scott just went through the rest of the game.
I was about to say, but how much you want him to get the
unfortunately, there's not a lot of scoring. You know, the Boston Celtics, they got a great record, 23-15, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But you look at this offense. There's not, like, Jay Crowder, he's hit or miss each and every time. Avery Bradley's out of the lineup. So Marcus Smart was 6-for-11, not a bad night for Marcus Smart. Al Horford goes in and out there. Kelly Olynyk's a guy that really offensively has put up some good numbers. He just doesn't get enough playing time.
No, he does not.
25 minutes last night.
That was like a Schneider mark on 25 minutes last night.
No, I'm just mentioning there's nothing behind it. Just had 25 minutes last night.
All right. Marcus Smart, right? Last night, 16 points, four rebounds, 5 assists, 4 steals, and a block. Getting the minutes without Avery Bradley, Marcus Smart has nobody standing in his way whatsoever.
You guys liked him yesterday, right?
I played him yesterday.
Yeah. I know Tony really liked him yesterday.
I like him again tonight for the same reason here. Al Horford, 14-9-4. You have, and that's kind of it around the NBA last night. So that'll do it. I want to take a break. When we come back, I want to take a quick look at Daily for tonight, including, at least for me, Tony, totally correct me if I'm wrong, after the break, this is the first night I believe that James Harden is more expensive than Russell Westbrook. We'll break that down.
Nope.
No, it's not true?
Second time.
Okay. When was the first time?
It was another matchup where Westbrook was against a good defensive team. Like tonight, he's against Memphis, which is a very good defensive team.
Yep.
I believe that he might have played Utah on a night that Harden played.
Okay, there you go. So the second time all season, James Harden, more expensive than Russell Westbrook. We'll break down which one of those guys you should pick in your lineups tonight and who to get in so you can make a full lineup, right? Who the value plays in the evening. We'll do that next on the Roto Experts. Hello, Roto Experts in the morning. Enjoying the music. I'm going to tell you. Corey Parson, Tony Cincotta, Scott Angle, Greg Sussman. Sorry, we are busy reading Trump's tweets right now. President Trump's tweets.
He's drunk this morning.
He's going wild.
he's
lost it.
He's lost it this morning.
I was just reading it too.
Oh my God. This is unbelievable. He just talked about Nazi Germany, huh?
Yeah, this guy is wilding this morning.
Oh boy. You can't talk about Nazi Germany.
Oh, he can.
Oh my God!
Remember,
Jesus,
he's on a different planet, man.
Holy God! He's gonna get back. He's gonna get backlash on Nazi Germany tweet, right? Like he has to. What the hell? He's the president. He can do whatever he wants.
He made fun. He made fun of a disabled reporter.
It's true, but he didn't really. He was just, you know.
That's the liberal media made that.
That's
up.
Inexcusable.
The liberal media made that up.
Come on,
disgraceful that we even mentioned that about him.
I watched the video. It didn't look made up.
No, Scotty, you didn't see the real video, which you only saw the video the liberal media put out. You didn't see the real video where Trump was actually friends with that reporter, and he was like having a friendly conversation with him. You missed it, so I'm sorry that you missed that, Scotty.
Yeah, I guess.
James Harden, for second time all season that we remember, priced higher than Russell Westbrook tonight, mm-hmm. Tony. Which one do you go with?
Yeah, there's no. It's James Harden. The game is off the line, right now. So we don't have the team totals there. But Memphis, one of the top teams defensively in basketball. Their team, the total in that game is 204.5. Memphis is very good defensively. Oklahoma City Thunder have a 104 total. I expect the Houston Rockets to have over a 110 total. I expect that to be in the 220s that game against the Minnesota Timberwolves. Just more of a conducive environment for higher scoring game with the Rockets and the Timberwolves.
Right now, in my lineup, for the record, I have both Russell Westbrook and James Harden.
How are you pulling this off?
It's crazy, right? And it's all because of Nemanja Bjelica.
Who?
Basically, if Zach LaVine doesn't play tonight because he has a hip injury and they say he's day-to-day, so I have no idea if he's going to play or not. But if, when he doesn't play, Vigilica, actually, Vigilica, how do you pronounce his name? I don't know, I'm asking you, Tony, but how do you pronounce this guy's name?
Vigilica?
Yeah, that
That's
guy.
That's how I pronounce it.
Yeah. He plays 41 minutes last time Zach LaVine didn't play. So he's going to get a ton of minutes. He's this bare minimum price tonight. Going to follow Tony's lead, getting the big guys against Boston, Markieff Morris, Madison Gortat, and then everything else kind of plays itself.
You know, that game, that Houston Rockets-Minnesota Timberwolves game is going to be a game that you look at it. Eric Gordon is another guy that could be out in that one.
Yep.
Corey Brewer put up some good fantasy points in that contest last night. He's a guy that you could go and get on the cheap in that one. I think Harrell, when they play back-to-back.
Oh, you're absolutely right. Yep.
They limit Nene's value. Karl Anthony Towns, not a very good defender. So you could target a lot in this contest tonight. And I also like that Washington-Boston game, which there's no line on as of yet. We talked about it, Markieff Morris, the Marcin Gortat situation there. Those guys have a big game in that one tonight.
I think it's
the
a great
Cleveland
point.
The game's tough because I like Damian Lillard a lot against Cleveland, but the Cleveland side of things makes me scared. Because they have the resistance to rest players, where Portland, we don't worry about it. They just keep playing everybody.
Too bad. You made a great point. We have to follow the Eric Gordon news. If Eric Gordon doesn't play, Corey Brewer, who stepped up last night, so 26 minutes of action against them. Not a very good Minnesota defensive team, obviously.
No.
Bare minimum price for Corey Brewer. That could be a way to fill out your lineup. Zach LaVine, another one that we have to look at. And then Montrezl Harrell, you said it, Tony, back-to-backs with Nene. It's Harrell getting the majority of the minutes here. Whether he starts or not, it doesn't really matter.
Right.
So that's definitely something you have to look at tonight. Keep a look at all these injuries here because tonight with some high priced guys, with Westbrook out there, with Harden out there, you're going to need value, Scotty.
This is unofficial, okay? But I'm just practicing here. I made a lineup and I want to run it by you guys.
Let me hear it.
Okay.
Okay. Derrick Rose and CJ McCollum at the guards.
Wait, you're going to play Derrick Rose tonight? Are you out of your mind?
No.
Okay.
I trust Tony Sincott. I'll tell you why in a minute. Allen Crabb, Joel Embiid, Enes Kanter, Elfrid Payton, Markieff Morris, and Carmelo Anthony. I'm shaky on the Carmelo Anthony.
So you're not playing Harden or Westbrook?
No.
Yeah, the Elfrid Payton could be a tough one, too. In that game, Chris Paul, very good defender in that one. Elfrid Payton, I expect that total for me is the craziest thing. Like, that total's way too high. The 209. I don't think
give me the under there for sure.
Yeah, I like the under that one because the LA is very good defensively and the Clippers there. The Derrick Rose thing is interesting. I talked about it on DFS today. If you look at a matchup, right?
Yep.
Philadelphia defensively,
awful.
Very poor.
Awful.
Derrick Rose.
Sergio Rodriguez,
back,
right?
Sergio Rodriguez, TJ
McConnell.
Probably both those guys will be in there tonight. If you go and look what Derrick Rose did before he decided to take his a little vacation. If he is announced in the starting lineup tonight at that price at $5,900, and you paired him with a Harden or a Westbrook, I mean, we have four consecutive games of 20-plus points where he got benched in the fourth quarter. Are they going to be cognizant of that? Are they going to try to play, let Derrick Rose play in this game against a very poor defensive team? Because he had 41 points and then a 25 and a 41 prior to those games. At 32, we're talking about a guy that can put up 30-plus points at 5,900 tonight.
Again, big difference on FanDuel and DraftKings there. DraftKings, 5,900. FanDuel, 6,600 for Derrick Rose.
Yeah, so he's a lot cheaper tonight on DraftKings there. And I also like T.J. McConnell in the game, too. T.J. McConnell, 5,400 and 5,500 on FanDuel and DraftKings, respectively. This is a guy, if you look at it, he put up 24 fantasy points in his last game, but then a 41, a 28, and a 29. He's really playing well, and that defense, you know, with the Knicks is one of the poorest defenses in the league.
Yeah, that's why I put Embiid in there. Now, like, obviously, it's not an ideal lineup, but, you know, it's just a practice kind of thing. I want to know what you guys thought of it.
Yeah, I think to me, especially on these short slate nights, Scotty, it is tough to go out and win a game without Russell Westbrook or James Harden. Like, you're going to need one of them in there.
Yeah, like I'm going to take Anthony out and see how I can work him in.
if you have five games, if you have five games, which this one's six, so it's a little over there. If you don't have the guy, like last night, Harden puts up 79. If you don't have that, you're done.
Right.
You can't win.
Or that was like Thor, or two nights ago, right? On what was it, Monday night, where Anthony Davis put up 70. Like you can't win without that.
No, and that's the whole time. The least amount of games, you've got to have that guy that goes off. And a lot of times I'll just start off with the guy with the highest projected total whenever we have a small field. And tonight, for me, it's James Harden.
Yeah, I tend to agree. As I said, right now, Westbrook and Harden both in my lineups. I don't know if that'll stay, but it is possible, given some of the value, given Eric Gordon's status, given Zach LaVine's status. Those are two things that I'll be watching throughout the day and no doubt texting you about, Tone.
Yeah, we'll put those together, the lineups. I haven't put them together. I hate doing it too early because then I focus on it the whole day. And
right.
I change it 83 times.
100%, and I know that. So I did this where we're doing an hour number one. I have this in my lineup, and now it's me in my head. Wow, I can play Westbrook and Harden together all day. How do I make this work? 100%, it'll be in my head all day now. You're totally right.
I'm gonna do what Tony said, though. I'm going to start playing for some free next week. I'm start playing some quarter games,
some
dollar games.
Why are you
going
to play for free next week? You made a lineup tonight. Why don't I play for free tonight? It's free.
I think after I'll listen to lineup lock tonight if I have time, I might throw something in.
If it's free, you can play that lineup.
Monday's my target day.
All right, Monday's the target day.
I'm practicing right now. I'm in the gym. I'm being a fantasy gym rat right now.
We talked about the NBA a lot. Now we're going to compare the NBA to the NFL. We explain right after this.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
Hour number two of the Roto Experts in the Morning is here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. A little basketball in hour number one, which is fun. But more fun is combining the National Basketball Association and the National Football League. What does that mean? No, LeBron James isn't going to play point guard, or going to play tight end, I should say, for the Cleveland Browns. In fact, that's not the case at all. Because Le'Veon Bell yesterday compared himself... You have to turn your mic on. You're going to say things. It's unbelievable. You used to yell at people for turning their mics on, and you don't turn your mic on.
I'm a disaster.
Yeah.
No, this is a different setup. Corey's just got to get used to it. That's all.
No, he just needs to, like, press the button.
Yeah.
Press the button.
That's I got to do a better job.
He's got to do a better job. You know, it's the truth. Le'Veon Bell yesterday told Tyler Dunn of Bleacher Report, quote, "I think I'm changing the game. In that sense, I'm what Steph Curry is to basketball." Don't get me wrong. I don't necessarily think Steph Curry is the best basketball player, but he changed the game. So he's going to always go down as being remembered. Now, everyone wants to shoot the three and shoot it from deep.
Well, first of all, Le'Veon Bell patting himself on the back that extremely.
Not Barry Horowitz style either.
The football gods don't like that.
No, they do not.
That will lead to this being his last weekend playing.
Probably.
Football gods do not like that, I'm telling you.
Football gods have already had their issues with Le'Veon.
No. That's just Le'Veon.
Injuries, etc.
Become a smoker, right?
Yep, ain't got that problem with Lev Bell. I don't think Steph Curry does that. Then again, I don't know.
No.
What are you saying again, with the way that he runs, how patient he is, and how he looks off the linebackers like Jerome Bettis used to? You watch Le'Veon Bell, and he's definitely the most well-rounded running back in the entire game, because not only does, you know, everybody talks about his hesitation and patience, but he breaks tackles too, and he can push the pile. He's got good body lean. He's like everything you would want from a scouting perspective. So I think all around there's nobody comparable to him in the NFL.
I mean, I think David Johnson's comparable.
Same. I think David Johnson is great, but I think Le'Veon is more complete as a pure runner.
Steph Curry's teammate, Draymond Green,
Davon Johnson might be purely faster.
Draymond Green said about to Steph Curry's teammate. He said this about Le'Veon Bell. That patience he has as a runner has never been seen before. You had Barry Sanders, who shook you out of your socks, quick as grease. You had the bus in his power running. You had super fast runners, but as a runner with the patience he has, I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen that. He's a special runner who's definitely transcending the game, and it's fun to watch. No one else in the NFL runs like that, but I guarantee you there will be some runners coming out, and there's probably some in the NFL now that will try to take on the technique. Basically, much like people, you know, follow Steph Curry shooting the ball from the parking lot, people do this. People will do the same and follow Le'Veon Bell.
I totally disagree. I don't think any coach is going to let any running back do that. Like, it's one of those situations where this guy was just so good. But the first time he did it, Mike Tomlin, if he was watching the game, which is debatable sometimes, he would have went through his roof, and then he was successful at it, and he got that. But you're not going to get that opportunity to do what Le'Veon Bell's do. Like, this is unique to him, and he's there. But coaches don't want you hesitating and going through the hole. Like, this is one of the craziest things ever.
It's a crazy, crazy comparison. What Le'Veon Bell is doing and the ability is crazy. Steph Curry changing the game in the NBA, crazy. Comparable? Probably not. But that leads me to other things, Tony. That leads me to think about some other players that you could compare in the NFL and the NBA. And I was hoping you guys would like to chime in with your own thoughts. So I started, and this was actually Corey's suggestion yesterday, with Vontaze Burfict and DeMarcus Cousins, the Jolly Green Giant.
Yep,
they did. Scott.
Yeah.
Right.
What do you think of that comparison, Corey? That was yours. I don't want to steal it from you. I'm taking poetic license. You compared Burfict and Cousins.
I would say probably not. Maybe in terms of personality, yes, but as a pure
intimidation.
Intimidation, but I would say I can see that from that perspective, Corey, but talking about, like, you know, value to their team and how dominant they are, I don't think I can compare perfectly to Cousins.
Tony?
I don't know, because Burfict, to me, on the Cincinnati Bengals, is probably arguably their number one defensive player. So I think it's actually a relative. And then we both know they're very similar with their styles on the court.
I agree. I totally agree. That's right, Corey. I was all in on that.
I think so, too. What he means to that defense, what Boogie means to that team, tough guys, goons, you know, get concussed, come back in the game, tear up the locker room, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Who would you compare more to Steph Curry than if it wasn't Le'Veon Bell?
I think that's a fair comparison.
Think it's fair?
Mm-hmm. I think that's fair. I think Le'Veon Bell and Steph is fair.
Tony, you disagree with it, though, it sounds like.
No. I disagree that anyone's going to copy Le'Veon Bell.
Right.
I think it's like, this is like something you'll never see. Like, this is an amazing attribute that won't get duplicated. Like, I think this guy's truly unique.
I think so too. His ability to just stop on the dime, we just haven't seen that. All right, so we got Vontaze Burfict and DeMarcus Cousins. Another one that I've kind of come up with is Joel Embiid and Rob Gronkowski. Now, why? Because
that's an intriguing one, right?
That's
there.
An interesting one, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the reason I kind of thought about that is, like, Gronk's like the party guy, right? Like the frat bro.
Yeah, he's like a frat guy.
That's Gronk, right? So
you think Joel Embiid's a frat guy?
No.
He wasn't in college long enough.
He's pretty good on Twitter.
That's what it was, Tony.
Oh, really?
That's where I took it from, because Joel Embiid is such a superstar on Twitter, tweeting things like this yesterday. I wonder who Sam Hinkie's going to vote for in the All-Star game. Got to do it for the culture. Joel Embiid. This is Joel Embiid, of course, tweeting this. Sam Hinkie responded, "I got you. See you in NOLA." Now, Sam Hinkie was basically fired by the 76ers because of the process. And now this guy's tweeting at the old general manager, "Vote for me, Joel Embiid." I mean, this guy kills it. He screws around with Mia Khalifa. It's hilarious. He retweets people.
Mia Khalifa is the adult film?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. She's coming up.
He retweets stuff about people just voting for him. Right? He retweeted Meek Mill saying, "Get my boy Joel Embiid into the All-Star game."
Meek Mill.
And he just got dumped. He tweeted, this is a real tweet, it sounds like Jake Seeley. He retweeted, quote, "Joel Embiid. Hashtag NBA vote."
That's what Meek Mill tweeted?
No, that's what Embiid tweeted himself.
Oh, okay. He's
shameless. This guy is shameless. Just like Gronk is. Joel Embiid, Rob Gronkowski. Corey, what do you think?
I like that. I can dig it. I can get involved with that. I can get involved with that one. You think?
I got a good. I got a good retweet this morning. It wasn't Joel Embiid. Pilar Laster retweeted the Fantasy News Desk.
That's good.
Nice.
It's pretty nice.
Your boss better not find out.
I don't like it.
I'm going to try one here, but I don't know how accurate it is.
What's all you? What's Zach? Yeah. Also, reason Joel Embiid is the Gronk. He gave himself the nickname The Process, right? Like he nicknamed that himself. Yeah. And if you create your own nickname, that's just like another level.
Yeah. That,
so there
it's
you
like
go.
The king.
Like the king, exactly.
He didn't create his own nickname. He'll tell you that.
Yeah.
I did.
Let the barbers be accurate.
What are you talking about?
Oh, you did create your own nickname.
No, I didn't.
Oh, that's what I'm saying.
That's what he's saying to you.
Yeah. I don't know which way you're going on that. Sorry. Giannis Antetokounmpo and Cam Newton.
No. You know why? I think Cam is LeBron James.
You think Cam is LeBron? Here's why I said Antetokounmpo, though, because like this guy's like a 6'11 point guard. He's sort of change the dynamic of the game, and Cam Newton being that big mobile quarterback that we've never seen has kind of changed the dynamic of the game.
I know who 100% who Cam Newton is, and it's not LeBron, but I want to hear your reasoning.
I think it's LeBron James because of the fact that the best athlete in the sport, the dynamics, the size, the speed, the power, the ability of to when they're on their game, they cannot be stopped. I think Cam Newton. I think it's hands down that LeBron James and Cam Newton are the NBA NFL player comps.
The reason I don't think it is, it's Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook's a big fashion guy. Cam Newton's the big fashion guy.
Okay.
Taking the money. They're both me guys. If anyone ever was a me guy, it's
That's
Cam
better.
Newton, Russell Westbrook,
I like
LeBron
it.
James. Wins championships.
I don't think
Cam Newton's going to win a championship. He was close. And I think Russell Westbrook's been close, but they don't get over the hump. They're both arguably, the center of their teams. I look at Russell Westbrook and Cam Newton as the same guy.
I can get involved with that.
Does it have to be today's NBA player?
Yeah, or even it's today.
I'm thinking historically, though, it's like, and I'd love to get Tony's opinion on this, Larry Bird and Tom Brady.
Why? Because they're both from Boston and white?
Yeah, Larry Bird.
So they're both from Boston, not the white thing.
Like, Larry Bird's the kind of guy that would smoke a little weed and have like natural light. And Tom Brady would have the greatest wine and champagne at his dinner table.
I'm talking about his players, though, both being tremendously clutch and the axis of legendary teams.
That's very deep.
I'm going D Wade and Tom Brady. Both got the championships. Both got the celebrity model wife. I'm going D Wade and Tom Brady.
They both like Tom Brady to me is like a Wall Street guy. Larry Bird seems a little far from that.
Well, Larry Bird's a farm boy. He's a farm boy, right? Tom Brady
from French Lick.
Yeah, Tom Brady is like a.
My comparison, by the way, my comparison, Tony, to Russell Westbrook. I love the Westbrook Cam one.
I like that.
I also like Russell Westbrook and Aaron Rodgers, which is both dicks who obviously their teammates hate them.
Yeah.
And I assume their family probably, Russell Westbrook's family might not like him either. But they're both me guys, ultimately. They're both the stars of their team, and they're not likable. So Russell Westbrook, Aaron Rodgers.
What's your plan?
That's what I had there.
Derrick Rose and Percy Harvin.
Did Percy Harvin ever go AWOL?
That's pretty good.
That's a good one.
That's a good
Percy's
one.
Percy's gone and done everything.
I like that one, Scott. That works. Derrick Rose and Percy Harvin.
See, but Percy Harvin never, I mean, Percy Harvin was never even in the conversation of the most valuable player.
But people thought he was just
going to
comparing
a lot of personality.
Yeah, we are.
Percy, though, was the number one player, like, at Florida when those years of Tim
when they won the championship.
Early in his career with the Vikings, he was, like, considered, like, one of the best all-around
he's an early player. I remember that, sure. Yeah, that's a good one, Scott. I like that one.
What do you guys think about Kevin Durant and Julio Jones?
So, no, you can't do that because Julio Jones signed the extension with Atlanta.
He stayed in the A.
Quiet. I put Kevin
They both got the Jones fracture.
They do.
Yeah.
I put Kevin Durant and matched him up with your boy DeSean Jackson because he went to division rival, can't beat him, join him type of thing with the Redskins.
Yeah, I don't think Kevin Durant belongs to any gangs.
That's true. But
DeSean Jackson's not a gang. No gangs with DeSean Jackson.
Who is not according to Coach? What's his name?
And Chip Kelly didn't know what he was talking about. That's why Chip Kelly's unemployed now.
Chip Kelly.
But that's a good one, though. I guess
I just did the division rival thing.
The division rival thing. Yeah. The division rival thing. Has DeSean Jackson never been a top player?
No, that's
like
a problem.
Kevin Durant is consistently a top player.
Yeah, that's
well, you know, run,
Sammy
running.
Watkins and Brooke Lopez.
Oh, we got a feet injury. That's a good one. I like that one. They both can be really, really good. Neither of them rebound, which is good. They both have feet injury. I like that, Scott.
How about Rajon Rondo and Aldo Beckham Jr.?
So it's funny. I've been sitting here trying to figure out the Aldo Beckham Jr. one.
I would have said the Beckham Jr. was Russell Westbrook.
I put Beckham, and maybe this is a New York thing, I pick him with Carmelo. Because they're both me guys on their own team. They're the star that complain about every call.
I disagree with that one.
They're both high scorers. They're their whole team.
How was Carmelo on a boat?
Probably good. Didn't Carmelo... Oh, he didn't go on the boat with LeBron and Chris Paul, right?
And you say Porzingis in Beckham.
No. Porzingis didn't fly down to Miami to do that. No. I think
Melo wouldn't do that either. Carmelo Anthony's a grown man.
Yeah, that's true. So not for Victor Cruz, Carmelo wouldn't work. That's for sure.
No. He's a better player.
I did.
We need like a young NBA star. A young, is it Giannis? Giannis?
No, he's not as flashy. Yeah. Yeah, flat like Damian Lillard.
I could see Dame. I could see Dame and Odell.
Dame works.
Yeah,
I like that one.
I can dig it. I can get involved with that.
Adrian Peterson. And Chris Bosh, I did.
Chris Bosh, if you wanted a guy that's still playing,
okay,
it could be Dirk Nowitzki. A guy that's good. You know what? Every once in a while, he'll come out and play a little bit, but at the end of his career.
Superstar
that's done.
I got two more on
who
here.
Who is Ben Roethlisberger? Willis Reed.
That's funny. That's funny. I got one for Richard Sherman. What do you think about Richard Sherman and Draymond Green?
That's a good one right there.
Pretty similar.
Yeah, Richard Sherman and Draymond Green.
Is,
I can see that.
That Draymond Green does stuff that's considered dirty, though. That you can never point to that with Sherman.
Are you serious? Wasn't it just a few Monday nights ago?
Yeah, it
was. What was that, the punter, the quarterback? And then he bragged about it.
Oh, did he roll?
The way he held Julio Jones on that play.
Yeah, but that's a penalty, though. You're talking about a guy who's like kicking people in the groin, though.
On purpose.
Yeah. So you would rather compare like Draymond Green to like Aqib Talib?
Who's a big trash talker in the NBA?
Sherman is the biggest.
Draymond Green's the biggest trash talker.
He picks on punters and kickers.
Yeah,
like
Draymond Green picks on people like Matthew Dellavedova.
I don't
know
if he's ever been considered dirty though.
He's a trash talker. Draymond Green's a trash talker. And so is Draymond Green. That's right.
Draymond Green got in
Boomer,
big trouble in the
Boomer
finals.
Boomer Esiason rips hypocritical Richard Sherman for his dirty play against the Bills, taking out the kicker. If you take out a kicker, you're worse than dirty. You're a lowlife.
I compared.
You might as well take out a fan next.
Ron Artest did that.
Tony really doesn't like Richard Sherman.
No. I'm saying. I mean, if you ever played football, the kickers, and you're not going to get any street cred by taking out the kicker.
Yeah, but didn't Draymond Green like kick people in the nuts? You know,
by accident. He didn't take out the kicker though.
He took out the captain. He went to take out the captain.
Well, it's because he stands up to the captain. Richard Sherman should go after the captain instead of a kicker.
I'm saying the captain, like he went after somebody's groin. You know.
Oh, you know what? We know who Derrick Rose is.
Huh.
Darrell Revis.
Oh, yeah.
Wait a minute. Derrick Rose washed up?
Yeah.
Yeah. He
Derrick
is.
Rose is washed.
28 years old. He's washed up.
He's washed up.
Yeah.
He's still scoring 20 points.
Phil Jackson.
Oh, Bill Belichick.
No.
You don't think so?
Bill Belichick's a freaking winner. Phil Belichick's a winner. He's already the GM.
Phil Jackson's a winner.
Phil Belichick's already the GM.
Phil Jackson's a winner
in
previous locations.
Yeah. No. Phil
Belichick. Here's the thing. Phil Jackson always had the fastest cars on the track.
Sure.
Belichick has done it with whatever they give him.
Whatever he gives himself.
Who is Phil Jackson?
I have Phil Jackson as Ryan Grigson because Ryan Grigson doesn't know how to build a team in Indianapolis.
That's pretty funny. That's pretty funny. He's not the guy I want to be compared to.
Like, he's got a superstar in Andrew Luck. Jackson's got the superstar in Melo. Like, he's made some good draft picks, like a T.Y. Hilton type thing, and Kristaps Porzingis, but nothing. The team is barren. Fortunately, the other guy that Phil Jackson in the future could be compared to is Tom Coughlin, and Tom Coughlin doesn't do a good job of Jacksonville.
Jeff Hornacek and Hugh Jackson.
Jeff Hornacek and Phil and Hugh Jackson. Jackson.
Wasn't a popular player.
Why is that?
They're both they're both in very challenging situations.
It's true,
there.
Both in their first year. Yeah, it's not terrible. It's not a bad one. That's not a bad one. All right, we'll take a break. We'll think about more of these and see what you guys come to mind. Those are just my initial ones. Think about it. Oh, I have a good one, actually. I missed. We'll talk more about this on the other side of the break. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. So, the last one here on my list, I was trying to, Corey, compare somebody to Pac-Man, Adam Jones. Is your mic on? Make sure. Hey, your mic's on. Okay. So, Adam Jones, so the best one I had was Zach Randolph, who went through some issues when he was a younger man. Now, I know Adam Jones just arrested, but I came up with Zach Randolph. Very solid player, kind of turned it around. Obviously had a lot of drug issues early. So I had Adam Jones and Zach Randolph.
That might be the best one right there. Adam Jones and Zach Randolph. Yeah. Zach Randolph didn't have the rap sheet that the younger Adam Jones had. But it definitely could have happened.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
God knows.
It definitely could have happened.
Yeah. So those are that kind of wraps up my list. Corey, you got anything?
What about
else?
John Wall?
Sorry, doing that.
Doing the Dougie.
Doing Dougie. Teach me how to Dougie.
John Wall, college superstar.
Yeah.
Right.
Kind of underwhelms a little bit as
Kind of underwhelms a little bit as a pro.
Okay.
And if
I got an answer. I don't know if you're gonna like it.
What's that?
Amari Cooper.
Was Amari Cooper a college superstar? He's underwhelmed?
So. I think so.
I see, John Wall, Amari Cooper, that's a good player comp right there. What do you think, Tony?
I like that as well. I would like that as well. I got to ask you a question, Corey. I'm too busy with basketball, and I didn't even watch the president last night. Now, there's a lot of talk on Facebook about how great of an orator he is. Were you excited about the speech last night?
It was a good job. I think when people talk about how great of an orator he is, they try to really discredit him for everything else. They're saying, oh, well, he can give a good speech, but he's a bad president. But I think he did a good job last night. It's a backhanded compliment. Yeah. Uh-huh.
He is a good orator, that's for sure.
I'm going to have to watch this today.
You didn't get a chance to check it out last night? It was on.
No, I watched basketball. I didn't even notice. I got to watch this.
Yeah, we talked about it yesterday. The farewell address was coming.
Damn.
Scotty.
Once you leave, everybody likes you.
Yeah, for sure. Although, certainly when certain other
look
people
at George Bush. W.
Yeah, he's got it.
Yeah, now he's like, oh, he's cool. Yeah, like an older, like an uncle. You know, when he was the president, it was like, this man is trying to kill us.
So, oddly enough, during On Target yesterday, I was actually going through, maybe you guys can guess, because you know I do love trivia. So I was going to the consensus rankings of the worst presidents in our history. And I don't know what kind of, like, if you are, like, historical guys, right? Yeah. Like, if you're into presidents, like, I'm pretty into presidents. So I was wondering if you guys could name the worst presidents of all time. Or best. Best and worst, because it's fun.
I think...
Whatever you want.
Nixon is probably on the worst.
Nixon is not... Nixon is the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7... Ninth worst.
It was 8 worse than Nixon?
Oh, yeah.
People hate
him. He's one
of
my favorite. I like the whole... tricky dicky with the whole peace sign thing.
Yeah.
I love that.
That was funny. Just for reference, W is the 1, 2, 3, 4, fifth worst.
Was Eisenhower among the best?
Eisenhower is rated as the... I actually thought he should be higher up because I thought Eisenhower was a very good president.
Mm-hmm.
Ninth best. Not as high as I expected him to be.
He was the ninth best?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wasn't he the New Deal?
No. That was Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
Oh, he should be number one, right?
He is number one.
There you go.
Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Consensus ranked number one as the best president of all time.
Where was JFK among the best?
So JFK.
Number two?
No, no. JFK wasn't a good president. That's why it's ridiculous.
Yeah, he's a celebrity president.
Correct. Yeah. JFK wasn't actually a good president. So, true story, and I've actually, this has kind of been on my...
Wait. JFK, where's JFK on the list as compared to Ronald Reagan?
All right, hold on. So, it's funny we talk about this, right? Reagan is ranked the 10th best president of all time.
Yeah.
17th is JFK. So I was wondering, this has kind of been on like my back burner of like my list, my to-do list of stuff I wanted to bring up on the show, and I guess now is like, why not now? If we could play like fantasy presidents, yeah, right, going back to all time. And I know this is like a thing like Scott would normally do, try to bring fantasy into this, but this is a real story. This is a real thing.
Yeah.
That I thought, like, who would be like president ones, right? Like, and like, oh yeah, like I definitely draft FDR as a president one. Like, Lincoln, President 1. George Washington.
Why is Lincoln a President 1?
The whole Civil War thing, like, abolished slavery. Yeah, Lincoln guy? Lincoln's great.
Lincoln is, you had to work. Lincoln, yeah, okay, if you win the war, you don't have to be a slave no more.
But they won the war. He kept the United States together.
But still, if you win the war, then you can be a free. Then you
what
can
do you
free.
Want to do? He kept the United States together. He won the war. Lincoln is number two overall on this list.
Lincoln is overrated.
Oh, that's not true. That's not true. I thought you'd like Lincoln more. George Washington.
I like him.
Clear president
where
one.
Where was Teddy Roosevelt on the best?
Teddy Roosevelt top five. He's, yeah. Teddy Roosevelt. He's a president one.
He's a, yeah. he's a PR
one.
He's a PR one.
He's a PR one. But you got a guy, right? You got a guy like Barack Obama, right? That's how the conversation started. You got Barack Obama. Like right now, where would Barack Obama rank for you? Like, he's probably like a...
Well, he's so close. He's so soon.
Yeah.
That recency bias. Yeah. People put on the worst list.
Yeah, he's worst,
exactly.
I know.
He can go. He's going to go either way.
So you're saying he's like a PR3 with the ability to be a PR2?
He's going
to
be. Yeah, I think. Yeah. Maybe even some people might have him as a PR4.
So that's why he's
more
so right
like
now,
a PR2.
So right now, Jane Barack is a PR3.
I see.
So in some drafts, he's going to go earlier.
Some drafts, he's going to go earlier.
But in some, will go later.
Yeah.
Depending where in the country you're drafting.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So where was Herbert Hoover? Is he on the best?
Oh, no. At the best? No, Hoover's one of the worst presidents of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Hoover's horrible. Although he's not down here. Hoover.
So Ronald Reagan would be what? A PR1?
Yeah, I think he's a PR1.
What about Lyndon Johnson?
You think
I like Lyndon Johnson. Who?
You, personally. Never mind.
Lyndon Johnson.
LBJ's a good president. I like LBJ. LBJ is number 13, so he just misses the PR1 cut. But he's a high RB, he's a high PR too.
Where's my son Bill Clinton? And I think Bill Clinton's a PR1.
He's PR1.
Yeah,
he is. He's a PR2 according to the rankings.
He is.
He's a number 15, 16.
So you guys think Obama's actually going to be rated as one of the higher presidents?
No, I think he's a PR3 with the ability to be a PR2. Tone.
I think he's going to be one of the worst 10.
Really?
Yeah.
Why is that?
They doubled the deficit, right, under his 8 years.
Unemployment went down, though. Osama, that's pretty good.
No, unemployment, I told you, we've discussed this before.
Yes, we have.
There's more low-paying jobs in the United States. Like, there's no high-paying jobs. We send all those out of the country.
Yes. Well, Donald Trump's bringing them back, so don't worry.
He's going to bring them back. He already took care of the Mexico car plant.
Yep.
So we're already there.
Yep.
He gave Iran money. Like, I don't know what the hell was up with that. That will be something that we'll be talking about for years to come after he leaves the office. I really think he's going to come down as one of the 10 worst presidents in the United States.
That's so interesting. And I really think that we'll look back in that. Man, maybe it's because of the guy who's going to be after him and the guy
and,
before him.
And Corey, I want your take on this because we need a black opinion on this. I believe race is worse since he's racial tensions are worse since he became president of the United States
because he's black. It was so people were so dis people. This is the reason why Donald Trump is the president. It was because they was like, we got to do something to get them back. You know what I'm saying? It's like we got to punish the rest of the country for voting for this black man, so we gonna vote for this nut. So, no, it's worse. It's not worse because he made it worse. It's worse because of how you really see how people feel about black people.
But could he have done it something
like
to make
what?
It better? I don't know.
Be
like
white?
That's what I'm asking.
Nah, he couldn't be white.
He is
so
part think, white.
Yeah, well, yeah, he's biracial. You know what I'm saying?
He's biracial.
But yeah, it's really, what step did he make? What step did he do wrong?
Like, racially.
I don't know. I have no idea.
I can tell you much more things he did much wrong racially from my point of view than any, than any, you know, than anybody else.
This is one of the things that I just stay silent because I can't. I don't want to touch anything.
That's the way I look at it. No, the reason why the racial tension is worse is because people were that pissed off that the black man was in the White House. So that's why it's worse. It's not that he did anything to ignite it. You know what I'm saying? I don't think you can name that.
So rated as the worst president, who is a guy that would not be on my board, Scotty, that would be Andrew Johnson, the president after Lincoln. Johnson does not make...
he didn't make the cut?
Doesn't make my board. No.
Where'd they put George Washington?
I just said it. He's top three.
He's okay. Got to be a decent.
He's top three. He's got to be a clear PR one.
He's got to be a PR one.
He's a clear PR one, right? Yeah. So you
how many kids did he have?
G-dubs?
Yeah, he had a lot of kids, probably.
I'm sure he did. Yeah, uh-huh. With his slaves, right? You know Jefferson did.
They got to come in the house.
Yeah. You know Jefferson did. Warren G. Harding, pretty terrible president.
I don't even remember him.
You remember Harding?
Yeah, I'm like, well.
He was basically depression.
Okay.
Like he was the cause of depression, was Warren G. Harding.
Hey, where's my man Jimmy
Harding? Because Harding, he didn't want to do anything. He got to like.
Where's Jimmy Carter at?
Oh, Jimmy Carter's terrible.
Yeah, Jimmy Carter's probably... Yeah. He's a PR6.
Yeah. He's like not that
I'm going to get drafted.
He's bad, though. He's like,
he's a nice guy, though.
No, there it is. Still alive. Good, yeah. Good dude. George Bush is a nice guy. He's bottom five.
Yeah, exactly.
James Buchanan, another horrible president. Franklin Pierce. Those are your bottom five guys. I don't think... you had to pick a guy that... A president that... He's going to bust this year. Who would you say it's going to be?
It's going to bust?
Yeah.
I mean, we only have one.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I guess there's the answer. Boom. We'll take a break. Stick around. More Roto Experts in the morning after this.
See what you did there.
Corey fixing his hat here. Right?
Yeah, I was making sure.
I did this last night.
I was making sure they didn't catch the whole conversation. Like, the light was on.
Oh, man. Your mic wasn't on. Don't worry about it.
Yep. Ricky Henderson, sliding in the home plate.
Oh, wow. Can you hear the bell, please?
Oh, there we go.
It's behind you. They give you more of those. Yeah. Can you say that again?
Ricky Henderson, sliding in the home plate.
Oh!
Yeah.
There you go. We want to transition now over from the NBA, from the NFL a little bit. We'll get into the wild card stuff, some coaching changes, some Jordan Scott's news update. You'll hear it again at the top of the hour. We'll talk about that coming up at 9 a.m.
Oh, you know what? I'm sorry, Greg. I didn't mean to cut you off. I just thought about something.
Coming up at 9 a.m., we'll talk about some of the favorites for the Jaws, what that means. You heard Sean McDermott. You heard Kyle Shanahan, Vance Joseph. So we'll talk about that coming up at the top of the hour after the next news update. But we're getting into a little baseball now. And we kind of threw something out there yesterday. After Corey was able to hack the FSTA. So
Scott, hot what?
How is it possible? That's fake news.
Got me there.
Tony still here?
Yeah,
no.
Oh.
So we wanted to get into a little baseball and kind of expand on one of the ideas. And we're going to, again, dive into baseball full time coming up with the FSTA draft coming up in a couple weeks. And we'll totally go full there, go over first rounds, all the stuff you would expect. And we'll break down baseball, no question, over the next couple months. But right now, we want to play a little 10, 11, 12 with you. We're just going to throw some names out there and talk about which is a better value,
this
right?
Auction stuff like we did yesterday. 10, 11, 12.
This guy's going for $10. This guy's going for $11. This guy's going for $12. And we're going to talk about these guys and who we like more and just a little introduction to baseball and what we think. So Corey set it up. A little 10, 11, 12.
A little hardball sus mania.
Let's do it. Scotty, now I noticed.
I love this.
I apologize for getting into this right now, Corey. I've noticed you got your magazine, Scotty.
Yeah, the fantasy baseball guide from done by Peter Kreutzer, Roto Man.
Shout out to Peter Kreutzer.
Be on a newsstand shortly. I got an advanced copy.
You got an advanced copy. Now, do you trust the magazine? For like, if you're drafting, do you look at the magazine?
I probably read it. It's probably read before my draft, so maybe one or two. If I'm very tight on a player, I might go back to an opinion from a certain expert. I like the Fantasy Baseball Guide because it's got opinions from different experts in there in each player capsule.
Not to call out our guy Peter. But, like, This is my problem with magazines. This is my problem with magazines in general.
Tony certainly will.
This is my problem with magazines in general. You're going to draft, right? You have Tout Wars going in March. Mm-hmm. How is anything he said in that book relevant 2 months from now?
Zero. Well,
thank you, Tony.
I'm saying if it is relevant if, like, you know, the guy is still in the same physical condition, I think.
I think it gives you a good
so
base.
Let me ask. No, let's be honest about it. You guys are kissing Peter Kreitz's ass.
I'm saying this about any magazine.
No, they're obsolete because you talk about the rankings in there. Jose Bautista and Mark Trumbo don't even have a team.
Right.
No, I'm not looking at the rankings. I'm looking at maybe like
what are you looking at?
Like I said, some of like the player outlooks and some of the expert opinions on this.
Like who? Give me a player that you look in the book for.
Read me the player outlook.
And this isn't calling out Kreitz.
Give me one.
Read me the player outlook for.
Yes, exactly.
Miguel Cabrera.
Okay, hold on.
But like Miguel Cabrera's status could change.
Right, but I think I know by the time the draft comes, which ones I'll be able to refer to and which one will be outdated.
Did you find it yet, Scotty?
Hold on.
Let Scotty find it because if you're reading the player outlet, put the microphone near my oral.
Do it in your mouth. Yeah.
If you read the player outlook now, right, it gives you like a solid base to think, okay, well, I kind of know how to value the player. I can keep us abreast of the news moving forward. And create right. my own opinions.
Here's Scott Pianowski, you know, says this about Miguel Cabrera. A national treasure, fourth in hard hit rate, left in soft hit rate, first in first base appeals call. Well, that doesn't mean anything. But he talks about... It's joking there, but I'm saying hard hit rate, soft hit rate, soft hit rate. That's not going to change by draft
on
day.
That. But is that stat going to make you draft Miguel Cabrera?
I'm just saying if I'm tight on two players and I'm going back and forth, you know, while I'm putting guys in my queue, I might refer
it's
to it
good
occasionally.
It's good reading on the subway. Yeah. I don't have a problem with the magazine.
It is excellent reading
now,
on the subway.
Showing up to the draft with the magazine and thumbing through the magazine on draft day, that's a mistake.
I don't think I'm there by draft day.
To me, the general magazines are completely obsolete.
You don't think it gives you a good base, a good starting point?
I like to read and hear other expert opinions on this, and I'll pick up probably two magazines and read them cover to cover.
Why?
Because I just said.
He likes the information.
I just said.
There's nothing wrong. I don't have a problem with it.
I like to read what other people are saying about players. But I respect other opinions.
So, but you have a staff full of writers.
Right.
Online.
I read their stuff, too.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, like Corey said, I'll read this on the subway. Yeah. And I'll read this on the, you know, on the can. You know what I'm saying?
Tony, so Corey's got Pro Magazine. You're kind of with me with the antis.
No, like the Roto Experts, like I would go there. And the thing is that I know everything's going to be up to date.
That's true.
And I'm going to go to Fangraphs, and I'll get the numbers myself.
Yeah.
And I'll come up with an opinion. Like, Pianowski, he's very good. He knows what he's talking about. And, he's one of the guys that are very good in this industry. But the bottom line is to tell me that he's first in hard hit rate or he's third. I mean, I can go and look that stuff up myself, and I'll be doing that throughout the draft. So he's not telling me anything I don't know.
So let me ask you this. This is probably nothing really to do with it, but... You think he makes a? Do you think like Peter will make a profit off of that?
He doesn't pay anyone. All those articles are not even paid for.
So he will turn a profit off it, like the publishing and distribution, all of that.
I don't know. You know, it's hard to know somebody else's business.
I don't know if you can speculate.
But I know that because I don't know how many people are buying magazines. Like I don't.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying too. Like, is it worth?
It could be a labor of love. That he's just putting it out there. And you know what? It's so funny. If I was on an airplane, I might buy that magazine. Like, I mean, if it's in the airport, just to read something for 2 hours.
Well, that's the same thing I said. I'm riding.
Is it going to help me in fantasy baseball? No, not at all.
If that's the same thing I just said, Tony. It's like I ride the subway every day and the bus. So coming in, I listen to you, you know, on the way in, Tony, and then you know when the subway goes underground, I start reading the fantasy baseball guide and then read it on the way home.
Now, Tony, you would pick up a fantasy baseball magazine in an airport rather than a Playboy.
You know what's crazy about that? I did that once in my life, to be honest. It's the most uncomfortable feeling.
I'm right there with you. I bought a penthouse on the plane.
At least Tony bought a Playboy, because I bought the real slutty one, the penthouse.
Yeah, that's right.
So I'm like, yeah, where is my...
Tenfold, yeah.
Yeah, where has my life gone that I'm on here dodging what people are looking at me over my shoulder? Yeah, God. It's not. I can't believe they sell that in the airport.
I gotta ask. Not,
for people, don't buy it ever if you're going on a plane.
All right, so Tony, what made you, I'll get to Scott, you in a second, don't worry. You went on a plane, what made you buy this Playboy in the airport?
I have no idea.
Like the centerfold just got you. Like whoever the cover's on the cover, you're like, she's hot.
I'm guessing that I probably had a couple drinks in the airport, right, and I wasn't really thinking straight, because that generally leads to bad decisions, and that's what happened. I'm guessing. Like, I can't remember why I would do it, but it was crazy. Like, it was crazy to do. Now, I like to read on the plane. The New York Daily News was always the place that I would go and buy, no matter where it was. Like, because I liked the paper. It was very trashy. The police beat for me was always very enjoyable.
Sure.
But this not one time. this one time I did Playboy.
Okay. One time you did Playboy. Okay. You never do it again. Scotty, you picked up a penthouse, you said.
Yeah.
What went through the mind when you did that?
I was bored. It was a long flight, and the cover girl was hot.
Right,
oh, that's cool.
So you look at the cover girl. Oh, this girl's hot. Let me buy this magazine.
Yeah.
Now you're on an airplane,
and actually, had an NFL preview in it too.
Oh, okay. Yeah. In penthouse. That's interesting. So you were on the airplane, and you're a long flight, I guess, because you bought a penthouse. When were you going to feel comfortable looking at this?
When the person next to me was asleep.
What if this person next to you wasn't asleep? What if it's like a woman? Like, you got this woman, you open up, it's a penthouse.
Oh, like a grandma too, right? You know what I'm saying? Like an older woman. Yeah, that would have been embarrassing.
No, that would guy be awesome next to me if... fell asleep.
Okay,
was,
cool. Know.
If Scott
and then,
said,
hold on, and then what happened?
What?
And then what happened?
Scott, I would love to say, do you mind if I take a look at this?
Sure. What seat were you in? Were you in the middle seat?
I don't remember. It was a long time
ago. Imagine you were in the middle seat for that.
I've had an enjoyable flight one time before. I was in college.
Okay.
Flying, you know. Remember Air South?
No.
Yeah, Air South was a thing.
No.
They used to have like $50 round trips from LaGuardia to Columbia, South Carolina.
Okay.
And I met a young lady. They didn't have no assigned seats.
Okay.
You can kind of sit where you want.
Right.
And it was
like Southwest back in the day.
Yeah, right, so this one girl was like, she was all right. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I'm like, yo, let's, you know.
Let's sit next to each other.
Sit next to each other.
Right. Did you go to the bathroom or no?
No, I didn't have to.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Fingers, the whole right there.
Really? Nothing in the imagination. Did you have a blanket or no?
See,
I had longer, never. Well, had a longer shirt. You
a
know
longer
what I'm
shirt.
Saying? Yeah, so like, I was like, go for it.
Here's the thing: is
that's
that
cool.
you
had a game back in the day, huh?
You go to jail for that stuff.
Really?
Oh no.
Yeah. I had a buddy. I had a buddy that went to jail. Actually, well, he got arrested. I don't know if he went to jail. He got arrested, and they landed the plane at a different airport because he got drunk. And he, when he was drunk, he would do crazy things. And he decided he always wanted to have sex on a plane. So he got a hooker, bought her a plane ticket.
Wow. They went and had sex in the bathroom.
Oh, yeah. They landed. Well, they were both. He drank a lot, so I could imagine how drunk they were. And they landed the plane at a different airport just to take these two off the plane.
Oh, and then they ended up in like Wyoming by accident.
You know what's interesting? Because I've always like the idea of the mile high was always like intrigued me, right? Like, but like, we were going to sneak off to the bathroom.
Yeah.
And like,
you need a private jet.
Yeah.
You need a private jet.
Yeah, it's only
but no, those are getting more. Those are getting more affordable now.
I don't think it's in my budget, man.
I think you've been to Spain for a month. I think you can.
I went to Spain for
something on FanDuel, you know, get yourself a private jet.
No, I don't think, but like, I'll have to borrow Benny's private jet, probably.
Kyle Edwards has to give up his private jet now.
Oh, yeah, your boy Kyle Edwards retired, I saw.
Yeah, that was very sudden. I was surprised by that.
He probably failed the drug test and didn't want to get suspended.
Nah, Carl Edwards is a very straight arrow. I was very, very surprised by this news. It, like, came out of nowhere. It's like, and I was talking to my son about it. It's like, came out of nowhere. It's like, you know, the guy's only 37 years old and probably, like, has a really good shot of, you know, winning a cup championship. But, you know, there's a good column on Fox Sports about it, about how he's always been a very private guy, how, you know, the circuit is very rigorous, you know, 38 weeks out of the year. Not only are you racing, you're practicing, you're testing, and you're doing promotional spots and meeting fans. And he was always a very private guy. And people think, you know, that speculating, there's going to be a press conference today at 10 a.m., but people were speculating that, you know, he just wanted to get away from it.
Yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting one. Maybe he was too busy buying penthouse on the plane.
Yeah. Kid Daniel Suarez is going to replace him, though, and the number 19 should be a nice value driver on DraftKings this year.
Did Daniel Suarez beat Chase Outlaw this weekend in the rodeo?
Come on, man, Chase, PR. Man. Oh, man.
I wonder how many days you can bring up Chase Outlaw.
No, because I feel bad for Chase because he did all of that and he left here with $600.
You can't believe it.
Chase left hand, he left hand of red. Yeah. I'm sure he stayed two nights and he spent at least $700 up here.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, Chase. Maybe he get him next week.
Get him next week.
Get him next week. I'm going to follow him the whole season.
I know you are.
I'm going to follow him the whole season.
Every week.
Yeah, I'm
going to
give you an update.
He's reporting his $300 victory.
Benny made more than that last night, and he didn't have to get on the bull.
No.
I'll never forget the time I took my family tubing, right? So we rented a boat, right? And we're in the middle of the in a lake in a tubing, and I got my phone. And I said, wow, I just made $1,825 tubing. This is the life. I wish I could do this.
Well, how'd you
because
do that?
Of DFS.
Oh, okay, okay. I see what you're saying.
I'm sitting there watching the baseball games as the kids are playing on the tube. That would be the life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure would be. I mean, really enjoyable. All right. We'll just dream. We'll dream to dream.
We're supposed to do something this segment.
Yeah, we'll do it next segment.
All right.
Baseball.
we had a whole other hour to do baseball.
Penthouse. Yeah, we had penthouse plane stories. That
penthouse. We went from bashing magazines to talking about penthouse. Hey, like, that's much more enjoyable.
The newer hostess is here. Did you find her name yet?
Yeah, her name's Mary.
Mary?
Mm-hmm.
What's her deal?
We're on the show. We can ask her.
Tell her to come sit right here.
She's got a very biblical name.
She does have a biblical name.
Mary.
Yeah.
We got an open seat. She wants to join.
What would we talk to her about?
Yeah, that's up to you, man.
Nah, not
yet. Promote the restaurant,
that's
I guess.
That's up to you.
We think
no, because that might be too much. You know what I'm saying?
It's natural, like when Nicole was in here.
Yeah, you know. Well, see, I think people was like, which I went too far.
You think so?
I don't think so. I said she was sturdy, and everybody was like, oh, yeah.
Well, she's pregnant.
That's why she was sturdy.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God. It sounded like a recliner.
It sounded better until I found out she was pregnant.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I could have went so many places with that recliner climbing, Scott. But I'm not going to say that about a woman with child.
It's time to get a break. It's time to get a break. We'll be back right after this. You're the Roto Experts. Back here on the Roto Experts in the morning. Tony, it's just you and me. Everybody left the studio. It's just you and I in here.
They went to talk to Mary?
I guess so. Oh, Corey got some orange juice, huh? You got hooked up. You got some orange juice. Scotty, I guess, back from the bathroom. You got really hooked up, man. I settled with water today. You got a nice glass of orange juice. That's a fresh glass, my man. You got your mic on, man. Come on.
My mic is on, Greg.
Now it is.
I didn't have to touch. The button is red. Oh. That's downstairs.
Don't blame Mike Florio.
I'm not blaming him. He just took credit for it. I wouldn't blame Mike Florio.
So you got that orange juice. Nice.
It tastes good, too. It's nice and cold. Got a little pulp in it.
You asked Fidel for that?
I don't know if that's a... What's this little chubby one? What's this chubby guy?
Oh, that's not Fidel. Fidel's a different guy.
Yeah.
I like that guy. Nice guy.
He's a nice, cool cat. He seemed like he was intimidated.
By the big black man demanding orange juice?
I asked nicely.
Give me something to me. No pulp.
No pulp. Take the pulp out.
Bet ain't gonna be no pulp in there.
Y'all crazy, yo. Oh, man. We got to do a better job. We've really gone off the rails this morning.
No, we're not.
We're getting in trouble.
We're having a nice show. We're having some fun.
I think I might go see the Nets tomorrow.
Yes,
are they playing?
I saw you looking at tickets earlier in the show.
Yeah, I might go see the Nets tomorrow.
Who are they playing?
They're playing Anthony
Davis.
Yep.
Yeah, we talked about that yesterday. Playing Thursday, Anthony Davis. Well, Anthony Davis is not a play. He's a hit player.
I go up to tickets.
Oh, my
cheap.
Goodness.
Did you invite Scott?
Huh?
Did you invite Scott?
Oh, you want to go, Scott?
The tickets are cheap. I'll go.
You go tomorrow night?
Yeah.
I'll let you know what's up.
There you go. Nice. Road
Scott
Westbrook's
Impact.
See, well, Scott like to go sit in the clubhouse in the locker room and stuff like that.
Well, I like Scott to go Impact, see live like, NBA games. Cool.
If, like, say there was a lonely girl with self-esteem sitting in your row with Scott, how would he impact
What would you
that
do about
situation?
That, Scott?
I would say meet my friend Corey.
Oh. Why are you going to put her on me?
Play wingman.
I have a full stable right now.
Really? You got a full stable? Does it include any women men on the airplanes?
No. I have a full stable right now, Scott. I can't take. In order to take somebody new in, I have to cut somebody. Mm. I have to make an ad drop.
Let me ask you.
You have low self esteem, like $2 fast.
Let me ask you this: when you have a quote unquote full stable, how many people does that in the stable?
We really going to do this?
You were the one talking about the stable. You talk about the stable, not me.
He was just trying to keep us from going off the rails.
Oh. a full stable right now. I have like a little four man rotation.
Four man rotation.
For you know what I mean. Uh-oh. For better.
So you got the four man weave going on. Now do any of the
and an alternate.
Oh, and like so it's a five man. You got a full basketball.
It's like baseball. It's like four men and you got a spot starter.
And I got a flex.
Right. You got a spot starter.
Right. You got a four man rotation and a spot
swing
starter.
Man. Yeah. Swing man.
Sure. Now, so do any of the rest of the rotation know about each other?
No.
They all think they think you're this good man that's just all about them.
No, they don't. No, they don't think I'm all about them. But they, you know, they inquire. I'm like, hey, what's up tomorrow? The next day. Next week, you know, whatever.
But you have no interest in narrowing it down to one person anymore, right? You're done with that, you said.
Well, I mean, not right now. I mean, not now. I'm just living life right now.
Just living life.
Let it take its own course, you know.
Yeah, thank you,
force
Scott.
It.
Well, you previously told me that your mother was just like, you know, you got settled down. You're like, you got the grandkids. What do you need? What do you need the daughter for?
I agree.
another daughter for.
Yeah, well, you need the yeah. My pops said the same thing to me, too. He was like, I never had a daughter-in-law. I was like, you should have had another son.
You have the daughter, right? What do you need a daughter-in-law?
Exactly.
You can still adopt the kids.
You have the grandchildren. Why do you need the daughter-in-law?
Right. It seems like more of a hassle than anything else.
I would think so, too.
Huh. Well, yeah, you got your stable.
I'm doing all right. Tony, why don't you now, be quiet in Tony's and looking at Tony's life?
Corey, you got a name for your stable?
It was like, the only time you could keep me quiet is during this segment.
You got Generation X, Evolution. When we come back, we're going to find the name of Corey Parsons' stable. After the break, you know the experts. Oh, hello there. If you're enjoying the Roto Experts in the Morning on demand, well, there's a whole nother hour that you could listen to live every single weekday morning from Monday to Friday. If you want more laughs from Corey Parsons, listen to the Roto Experts from 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern every single weekday morning. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.